This is Growing in Grace with Richard O'Phil.
I think we could almost say these days that anybody who is anybody is into prayer. Football teams pray before the game. It's not uncommon to see a basketball player run onto the basketball floor making the sign of the cross. A friend of mine saw a specially produced video of the singer Madonna kneeling down to pray before going out for one of her concerts. A heavyweight boxer gave the credit to Jesus for helping him knock out his opponent. Friend, when prayer becomes this popular, we should begin to be on guard. It would not be unthinkable that the devil would be trying to take advantage of the interest there is in prayer these days and would be trying to subvert and to corrupt it. Not only are there a lot of people these days talking to God, but a lot of people are saying that God talks to them. These days we hear people say, "Well, God told me this," or "God told me that." Seemingly, prayer is now everyone's direct line to heaven. There can be a danger in this view of prayer. A person once said to me, "I don't care what the Bible says. I know what God told me." The phrases, "God spoke to me," or "God told me," should be well defined, and we should use them with caution. Many are using these phrases to claim a special revelation from God, or to give a holy stamp to their own opinions. In a time in which the sufficiency of Scripture is being attacked, we must be careful we don't come to believe that we are somehow receiving revelations from God that are on a par with Scripture. Our concern should not be what God is saying to us directly, but what the Scripture says and how we should put them into practice in our daily lives. Now, does God give impressions? Well, He most certainly does. But friend, His impressions are always in harmony with all of the Scriptures and not just an isolated verse here or there. There may have been a time in which we were not praying enough. Could it be said now that we're praying too much? Is that possible? Could it be that prayer is being trivialized, or worse still, that the devil is trying to infiltrate our prayer life? In the book Steps to Christ, on page 93, it says that prayer is the opening of the heart. If prayer is the opening of the heart, then let's imagine prayer like opening the door to your house. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." There are many interests that knock at the door of our hearts. Before we open the door, we must be careful to ascertain who is knocking. A few months ago, there was indeed a knock at our front door. It was twilight. So as I went to the door, I first looked through the frosted glass. There I could see a woman standing on the porch. And so I opened the door wide and I said, "Hello," and she said, "Hello, I'm your neighbor from down the street." When she said that, I wanted to respond, "Oh, well, I thought I knew all our neighbors, but I've never seen you." But I said nothing. I did ask which house she lived in, and she said the second one down the street. And so what could I say? So I invited her in. I asked her name. And when she said Carol, I said, "Carol, what can I do for you?" She explained that she had just had unexpected company come to her house and that she needed to borrow some beer for them. She wanted to know if I could give her any. When she asked that, a little shiver went down my back. I said, "I won't be able to help you because we don't drink beer." And then, sensing that something was not right, I stepped toward her and I said, "Carol, I don't know what you're up to, but I think you should leave." She didn't object, but she walked out, and she turned in the direction she claimed to live. I waited a minute, and then I went out onto the sidewalk. I saw her turn into the second house, but then in a moment she came down the walk and went to the third house. I caught up with her and asked, "Carol, who are you? What are you doing here? Do you have someone waiting for you out at the main road? Carol, you'd better leave now, or I'll have to call the police." She mumbled something about getting lost, and she walked down to the main road and disappeared from view. Obviously, she was giving a made-up story in order to get alcohol. The neighbors across the street came out and said that she had approached him earlier in the day, and that they had given her a bottle of wine. I don't know what eventually happened to Carol. But the reason that I'm sharing this with you on looking back on what happened is that I can see now that when she said she was my neighbor, my defenses went down. I felt I was obligated to open my home to her. If it had been a strange man who had made the same claim, I probably would have thrown the door open as I did for Carol. Though nothing came of it, I did learn a lesson. And that is, it's not safe to throw open the door and let just anybody in. Prayer is the opening of the heart. Prayer can be dangerous if we open our hearts without being aware of who may come in. Just as we must know who's knocking at the door of our homes, so we must know to whom we are opening our hearts in prayer. How can we know? The Bible. The Bible, friend, is the peephole that lets us know who's trying to get into our hearts when we pray. If we pray outside the context of the revealed Word of God, we must be suspicious about the answers to prayers that may result. There's an enormous amount of answered prayer being reported these days. If all the prayers that people are saying are being answered, or that they're saying are being answered from God, then our God is not a God of order, but of anarchy. Is God helping boxers knock each other out? Could it be that Satan is answering a lot of prayers these days? Why not? Prayer could be his last frontier. If, like a computer virus, he can infiltrate our prayers, he will be able to hollow out our spiritual lives, and the result being, as the Bible predicted, a generation with a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Can't you just imagine what the devil is saying to his imps? He says, listen, boys, get them all praying about everything, but keep them selfish and outside the Word of God. And then they will begin praying for anything and everything, and so start answering their prayers like crazy. They will think God's doing it, to show that he accepts them just as they are. And so they'll have no incentive to let him change them, and then we'll have them. Friend, there's a text that suggests that the devil does answer prayer. In Matthew 7, verses 22 and 23, it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. This text then speaks of a group that were praying that the Lord would do all kinds of miracles. And apparently, miracles were being done in answer to their prayers. Yet the Lord denies having had anything to do with it. Our prayers will be largely ineffective, and in many cases outright dangerous, unless before we pray, as we pray, and after we pray, we sit down with his word and discover what God's will is in the particular thing we're praying about. And there's yet another side. Some people already know what the will of God is, but they pray just the opposite. Little wonder our prayers are in many cases bouncing off the ceiling, not because we don't know what the will of God is, but because we were refusing to do it or expecting some kind of special dispensation. A young woman was about to marry a non-Christian. She assured me she had prayed about it, and she felt that it was what God wanted her to do. Forget the admonition about not being joined together with unbelievers. That never entered into the decision. To correctly ascertain God's will, we must put our own feelings aside and obey the plainly spoken, thus saith the Lord. When we're praying outside the will of God, we're subjecting ourselves to the possibility that Satan will answer our prayers. And when this happens, we will become hopelessly deceived because we will see an answered prayer as a sign of God's approval of the way we're living or what we happen to be doing at the time. Friend, to pray outside the will of God is dangerous. You see, prayer is the umbilical cord that connects us to the Almighty. And if the devil can somehow subvert our prayer lives, we could very well find ourselves enmeshed in problems very difficult to resolve. As this generation has become more self-centered and materialistic, instead of using prayer to commit to do the will of God, many are using prayer to manipulate and to control circumstances for their own purposes. Yes, prayer can be downright dangerous. Prayer outside the Word of God can be a tool of the enemy. Let me put it plainly, if I haven't spoken plainly already now. The devil answers prayer. Our only safety is to make sure then that our prayers are firmly rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Let me ask you a question or two in the time that we have remaining. What yardstick do you use to determine if God is answering your prayers? Another question, do you think we ought to ask God for anything our heart desires? What could happen if we do this? Another question, how can we be sure that it's God who is impressing us to pray for a particular thing? Oh, my friend, we live in dangerous times. Could it be that Satan himself is into the prayer business? For this reason, we need to study this matter of prayer. And more than anything, we need to study the Word. Oh, Heavenly Father, the devil is going about. He's even joined church. He seems to have learned the Word, and now he's beginning to pray. Oh God, protect us, root us and ground us in your Word so that we'll not be deceived through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Growing in Grace with Richard O'Phil. If you'd like more information about this program, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651.